Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with a land like the Garden of Eden, as we pick up in Joel chapter 2, verse 3. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now, when the Jews came back to the land, one of the marvelous things that they did was take this land that had been like a barren wilderness, and they began to develop the land of Israel from an agricultural standpoint. Beautiful farmlands, beautiful orchards, beautiful avocado groves, mile after mile stretching out of beautiful land like the Garden of Eden, and the hillsides, which were too rocky to cultivate, they planted with trees, and millions upon millions of trees have been planted in the land. So the barren hillsides are now beautiful forest. And with the planting of all of these trees, they've been able to effect a change of the weather patterns. And they've been able to increase the rainfall. The annual rainfall in the land has been increased dramatically because of the extra humidity that has been put in the air through all of the trees that have been planted, the forests that have been planted. And their whole project of taking this land that was barren wilderness and planting it and developing it is really a marvel to everyone who visits. They have developed marvelous new innovations in agriculture as far as irrigation and all, the drip system of irrigation and the sprinkling systems and all. They really just have proved to be fantastic farmers. They've transformed the land. And you'll hear the statement quite often, they have made the land like the Garden of Eden. And it is true. And here the prophecy said, the land before them is as a Garden of Eden. You could not have said that 50 years ago. For 50 years ago, the land was still, the valley of Megiddo was still a swamp. The Hula Valley was all swamp. Beersheba was all barren desert and wilderness. The Sharon Plains were just beginning. Actually, at the turn of the century is when they started developing in the Sharon Plains. They bought the swampland. And then they began to create new ditches and all to drain the swampland, and then planted eucalyptus trees because they drink so much water out of the ground. And then they began to plant the orange orchards and all. And now it's a veritable Garden of Eden. Through their careful planning and wise development of the land. But the fact that he refers to the land before them like the Garden of Eden, hey, that took the present day. That didn't happen until Israel became a nation and really began then to bring the Jordan water down to the wilderness areas for their irrigation and turning the land into a Garden of Eden. But behind this invading army, it's like a desolate wilderness. War is such a horrible thing, the devastation that it brings. The Jews have taken a desolate wilderness and made it a Garden of Eden, but these invaders are coming to take the Garden of Eden and again turn it into a desolate wilderness. Nothing shall escape them. Now he describes the appearance of this invading army. And listen, this is, to me, quite interesting. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people that are set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, and all faces will gather blackness. They will run like mighty men. They will climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one in his way, and they shall not break rank. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they'll not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city and shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. So he describes this awesome invading army that is coming to desolate the land. But in verse 11, there is another army. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can abide it? And so he speaks of the Lord's army in contrast. Now, the Lord is going to stop the Russians. In Ezekiel chapter 38, God declares that when Russia and her allied nations invade Israel, that God's fury is going to arise in his face and he is going to turn them back. The Battle of Armageddon, which people are much more familiar with than this battle of Russia when it invades the Middle East, the Battle of Armageddon will pit the forces of the Western world against the forces of the Eastern world, primarily China and Russia, pitted against the forces of the Western world in the Battle of Armageddon. But here, as this invading army has come, the Lord speaks of repelling it with his army, his mighty host. And of course, the description of the destruction of the Russian army by the host of the Lord is given to you in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Now, because of this great desolation, this great war that the people are going to face, therefore, because of this, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Now, one sad commentary that must be made against the modern nation of Israel is that the people really haven't turned to the Lord with all their hearts. The people are not really very religious. It is estimated that less than 10% of the Jews that are in the land are really religious at all. And we have observed this while we were there. Now, they do observe religious observances, that is, the Sabbath day. But so many of the Jews that we've conversed with in Israel claim to be atheists. But though they claim to be atheists, they keep Sabbath and they keep kosher as far as they will not eat dairy products with meat products. And they're almost insulted when people do. A lot of times when we are over there, people unknowingly ask for a glass of milk. When we've had a dinner with meat, they are polite, but they let you know you can't have any milk when you've had meat. And they keep this kosher kind of law, yet they really don't know why. Many of them that we've talked to said they were atheists. We said, well, why don't you eat bacon? You know, why don't you eat a ham sandwich? Well, they, you know, or ham and cheese. Oh, man. So they are, as those that were described in the New Testament, they have a form of godliness, and yet they deny the power of God. They deny God in their lives. But God is calling for them to turn unto him with their whole heart, with all of your heart. The problem with many people is that they turn to God in a half-hearted way. And this, you might say, is true in Israel. People have turn to God in a half-hearted way. Turn to me, God said, with all your heart. with fasting, weeping, and mourning. That speaks of a real desperation before God. It is sad that many times God has to bring us into desperate straits before we really seek Him. There have been only a few times in my life when I was really desperate before God. But I will testify to you, each time I was really desperate before God, God met me in a very dramatic way. When my mother was in our home and was dying, this one who had made such a positive input for good in my life, this person who had more influence on my life than perhaps anyone else, one who I loved so deeply, appreciated so much, and yet I knew I was losing her. And as she was suffering, in pain almost constantly, one morning as I went into the room, I just became so desperate before God as I saw her in this condition that I kneeled there at the foot of her bed and just cried out to God with my whole being. And God met me in such a dramatic way as the Lord came and stood right beside me and began to talk to me about myself and about my mother. And even in that same time, He laid His hand upon her and touched her. It was a marvelous experience. But I had been brought to the place of desperation. Our youngest daughter, who has been such a joy to our lives, such a blessing to us. I don't know, there's something about that, you know, you've had your family and then you have another one years later. There's something that's sort of special. You're older, you're more mature, you're able to enjoy them more. You're not so nervous and they just are such a sunshine and a light. And she was to us such a pretty little child. So vibrant, so full of life. And as I held her in my arms all night long, her body racked with fever, and she was so sick, so listless, my heart was so desperate before God. I cried out unto God with my whole heart. She went into a convulsion. I really thought this was it. But I had said, Lord, You know that this little daughter is just the joy of life. She means so much to us. We love her so deeply. But Lord, if You want her, and if it's Your purpose to take her, that's Your business. Lord, we give her to You. Her life is Yours. And she went in that convulsion. And I thought, well, this is it. We called the doctor. We bundled her up. And we started to rush up to the doctor. And on the way, the Lord healed her. By the time we got to the doctor, she was perfectly well. Her little bubbly, bright, cheerful self again. The doctor looked at her and said, there's nothing wrong with hers. Said, has she had a tetanus shot lately? And he gave her a tetanus shot. He said, you know, you should get them renewed every once in a while. But it was that desperation of seeking God. And God has never failed to come through when I really sought Him with all my heart. But it isn't often that I get in such a desperate strait. God says, rend your heart, not your garments. We read many times in the scriptures where problems came and the people would tear their clothes to show how upset they were or how deeply emotional they were touched. And so they ripped their clothes and it was an outward demonstration of a deep emotional feeling. But like all outward demonstrations, people begin to abuse them. You can go through the outward motions but not really feel it within. It becomes sort of a thing of hypocrisy where I look like I am going through it, but it's just a display, just a show. And so it became a commonplace thing. Oh, you can't go with me tonight? Oh, you know, and you ripped your clothes. And it didn't really show that deep, deep, deep grief or sorrow that the act originally intended to manifest. So God says, hey, look, I want to see your hearts ripped, not your clothes. I want to see your heart really torn before God. Rend your heart, tear your hearts, not your garments. God doesn't want any sham when you come to Him. God wants you to come to Him with your whole heart. He doesn't want to play games with you. He wants you to be honest and sincere. He wants you to rend your heart, not your garments. Turn to the Lord your God. The second call to turn to God. And of course, things are desperate. That's the time to turn to God. Of course, any time's a good time to turn to God. But especially when things are desperate. Turn to God, for God is gracious and God is merciful. That's why we turn to Him. That we might receive His mercy, that we might receive His grace. He is of great kindness. He is slow to anger. And God doesn't like to use judgment to get people's attention. It repents Him of the evil, that is, of the judgment that was necessary to get you to wake up, to get you to turn around, to get your attention. God doesn't like to use harsh means. He only does so because He loves you so much that He can't let you just destroy yourself. So when you are headstrong, going your own path of destruction, God will sometimes use very severe means to stop you and to get your attention. Maybe the death or the illness of someone that is very dear and close to you. God is seeking. God doesn't like to use those means. But unfortunately, many times we are so dull in our spiritual sensitiveness that God has to use stringent measures before we ever respond. It repents Him, though. He doesn't like using these kind of measures. Turn to God, for who knows just what God will do in helping you, blessing you. Who knows the blessings that God has in store for your life? Who knows what glorious things God has in mind for you? Surely I never dreamed in my wildest dreams all of the glorious, blessed things God had for my life. Oh, how thankful I am I turned my life over to God. Oh, what a blessing has been mine because I turned my life over to God. Far more than I ever dreamed or thought. Who knows what God has in mind for you? As Dwight Moody was challenged by the statement, "The world has yet to see what God will do through a man who will totally surrender his life to God." Who knows what God wants to do in and through your life? You'll never know until you totally surrender yourself to Him. Turn to God with your whole heart, for who knows just what blessing God may have in mind for you. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly of the people. gather the people and sanctify the congregation, assemble together the elders and gather the children and those that are nursing. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. And let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And so it is a time of national revival. Call the people together before God. And this day will come in Israel, as they are threatened by this insurmountable foe from a natural standpoint. They'll be forced to cry out unto God. And of course, God calls upon the ministers to pray between the porch and the altar that God would spare his people from the devastation and the destruction of this enemy.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Joel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Joel 2 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and prosper you in his love and in his grace and in his fullness. May you just experience that joy of the Lord as your strength. And may you be established in the hope that is ours through Jesus Christ, as we look for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who shall establish God's kingdom and bring us all into that glorious age of ruling and reigning with him on an earth that has been renewed and revitalized. May God sustain you, give you strength and power in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Come study the Bible with Pastor Chuck Smith as he teaches from Genesis through Revelation on a digitally remastered audio edition of Pastor Chuck's Bible commentary. That's over 600 audio MP3 files of Pastor Chuck teaching through the entire Bible, all on a 16-gig reusable flash drive. Now you can easily listen to Pastor Chuck's Bible commentaries when you insert this key into your computer. Then you can transfer all of these audio Bible studies to a smartphone or any other listening device to learn and study God's Word on the go. And not only that, you can reuse this flash drive that easily fits onto any keyring for even more mobility at a fraction of the cost. What a great way to study and learn God's Word. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.